Things change there. So I think right now, sitting back and seeing a veteran that's done it at a high level for a long time, you can develop that way as well. McKinsey, you go through that process and learn.
There's Colts head coach Shane Steichen. Really, the Colts have kind of been one of the main characters here in this mid-window. Josh, I mean, just in terms of what's going on at their quarterback position, they go to Joe Flacco. It's not like it's the Cleveland Joe Flacco either, where all of a sudden they're lighting up the scoreboard and they're making a run here. It's been kind of ugly, and it feels like a weird situation. The Bills are on the road this weekend on Sunday in Indianapolis against the Colts, 1 p.m. kickoff, and it's feeling like one of those games. I mean, I know I'm looking forward to Chiefs week as well, but as I was mentioning here, as we bring in our next guest, Kevin Bowen of 1075 The Fan. Kevin, I wanted to talk to you anyways, even if the teams weren't playing, because I am just lost on what's going on.
Yeah, join the club. There's 2 million people in the population of Indianapolis. Very confusing, just a total 180 from where they were. Organizationally, I would say the three most important voices in that organization, owner, GM, and head coach, where they were, back when Richardson was drafted in April of 2023 of, hey, we need to practice patience. And I would say to an element, you could speak to it better. Maybe you guys kind of lived that early on with Josh Allen as well. And that was kind of the thought of there will be growing pains. The college resume is not good. Bear with us, all of those things. And then 10 starts into it. A very abrupt ending, and now it's, hey, it's win now, and it's like, wait a minute, what happened when $20 million in cap space was sat on in the offseason, and they didn't make a single move for any sort of starting competition in the offseason either. So I think it's just a lot of confusion for the franchise in regards to the most important position in sports.
And on that patience part, our morning show host, Joe DiBiase, he went through it this morning, just kind of breaking down all their stats, and they're about where you expected second-year Josh Allen and Anthony Richardson to be at. And that leads me to kind of wonder, and again, this is all outside looking in, but we all heard about he took himself out of a game because he was tired and such. Like, it makes you almost wonder, like, is this a maturity thing? Like, is this why they're yanking him? But then, to hear Steichen, I think, essentially say that, like, no, Flacco's the starter, like, the rest of the year. It's just, it is left me kind of, like, dumbstruck. It's like, you knew he was a raw quarterback that didn't play a lot at Florida. And now, again, 10, like as you put, 10 starts in, it seems like it might be over, if I'm not reading that wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there was a thought, this time last week, I thought, okay, is this a one-week benching? The tap out, obviously, is a very jarring move for a quarterback to make. Is this bad? And they made it abundantly clear it was not bad. Obviously, Flacco was really bad Sunday night and will indeed be the starter coming up on Sunday against Buffalo. So, Steichen is not super transparent with his words in regards to the why. I mean, he throws out the word professional a couple of different times, though. Is there something off the field, non-tap related that they feel like, they need to get more out of? I mean, obviously the standard of a quarterback in the NFL, I mean, it's huge. It's not your high school student body president. It's bigger than that. So, is that not there? That's probably a fair question to be asked. And obviously his play on the field was not at a, good level, but certainly there was an element of you had to expect it, and the offense turns very one-dimensional, and on Sunday night, without the run game, the one dimension was pretty bad. So, again, it's just head-scratching. It's confusing. It's a very mixed message from where they were at, back in April of 2023, and it's not like Flacco, again, short-term, long-term, it's not like you're in a position necessarily to get on a run with Flacco, and then long-term, I mean, he turns 40 in January, and what are you doing? Are you going to about to have one of the more awkward off seasons in Colts history of, Anthony Richardson, we just benched him for fun. Like, trust us, year three, this is going to be the year, 10 starts, et cetera, et cetera. 2025, that's where he's going to really take off. It's just a very awkward time for the Colts, their fan base, and their franchise.
So I guess going off of that, what do you think the next little bit here holds for Anthony Richardson and the Colts? Is he going to be someone that tries to get traded in the offseason? Is he going to be maybe back at the end of the year? I have no idea what they're going to do here. I think they should play him more, but at the same time, if you're not going to play him, you should probably try to move him, right?
Yeah, they certainly, had some calls here before the trade deadline, and they elected not to do anything on that. And I think, now again, there's no past precedent that would indicate they're right on this. They are going to turn back to him. They're going to give him the keys at some point again. Now, when is that? If you look at their schedule upcoming, it's a very difficult stretch. you know, if it goes poorly for Flacco, do they turn to him at, you know, whatever, the start of December, if they're, you know, seemingly out of the playoff picture, the odds don't look good. Or is it, like I said, going to be a really weird and awkward offseason of like, yeah, we're going to start him again next year. And, you know, I mean, 10 starts is, I mean, it's nothing. And you know, part of me thinks it's low-hanging fruit to just make the Josh Allen comp. But, you know, for what it's worth, I think entering the draft, a lot of people, you know, made a similar comparison, you know, playing style, size, college resume between the two quarterbacks, Richardson and Allen. And, again, you guys know full well, bailing on Josh Allen 10 starts into the career would not have been the right move at all. So, you know, do you leave that glimmer of hope? You're probably going to be around 500 at the end of the year. You're drafting in the middle of round one. That's an awkward place. Do you, again, do what, you know, Buffalo did and make a trade-up if you identify a quarterback? Or how do you handle all of it? So, again, I think they will turn to him again, but, you know, there's no past precedent for a first-round quarterback to have been benched by that franchise and then all of a sudden to resurrect whatever career they feel like is there.
Kevin Bowen on the Wester Hotline over on 1075 The Fan in Indianapolis. Kevin, I guess one of the other weird parts about this has been, too, it's not like the Colts are like a 1-7 or, you know, a 1-8 team, 2-7 team. Like they're 4-5. And, yeah, they've ultimately lost, I think, the last two straight. But it seemed like a team that was just kind of, you know, they're figuring out. They're a young team. I think we talked in the offseason about, like, what the expectations were going to be, and it seemed like they were somewhat relatively in terms of a team meeting them. Jonathan Taylor comes back. He's playing pretty well. I do want to touch on that as well. It's just, you know, where, I guess, are the fans sitting with this? Is there sort of this anti-Richardson, pro-Richardson camp, or is kind of everyone in one spot or another? Kevin, are you there?
Sorry about that. I think this point last week, people were on the Flacco, hey, win now, you know, camp of, hey, look what he did in Cleveland last year. And, again, I think there was a bit of a misnomer of, you know, Cleveland had the number one ranked defense in the NFL when he took over. They were 7-4. And, you know, if you look at Flacco's recent run, obviously great in Cleveland last year. Very impressive what he did coming off the couch. And he's also 8-17 in his last 25 starts. So you probably can't lose sight of that either. So I think last week, the split would have been probably like 70-30, 65-35. People didn't want the benching, but, you know, there was still a percentage that was okay with seeing Flacco. And now I think you actually see a loss play out in prime time. Flacco is a big reason for that loss. And I think now the frustration has really bubbled to, if you did that same poll, it'd probably be something like 90-10. And I think you can look at it one of two ways. You know, if you're all in on Richardson and you think he deserves more starts, I mean, what unbelievable opportunities, whether that would have been Sunday night against the Brian Flores defense or this week, you know, such a marquee matchup, you know, against a guy like Josh Allen, future Hall of Famer next week, and Aaron Rodgers. They play the Lions in a couple weeks. Again, great unscripted game rep opportunities. He never sniffed at Florida or hasn't really had much of in the NFL. And then on the flip side of it, if you are skeptical about Richardson, there probably is a part of it, which sounds weird, of like, continue to play him. And if it continues to go poorly and the arrow continues to point down, now you have your answer at the end of the 2024 season, or you have a clearer answer on it, and you can operate in the offseason in a different manner than maybe you will now. Like I said, I think they will act like Richardson is their guy in 2025. So that just delays this answer further. And if you're wrong on it, now you've wasted an entire offseason. So I would say fans, again, there's a little bit of, hey, Flacco, maybe win now. But I mean, for those unfamiliar with the Colts, they've hovered around 7 to really 11 wins with Gardner Minshew, Carson Wentz. Matt Ryan's season was really bad. You know, Jacoby Brissett, they won 11 with Phillip Rivers, lost to the Bills in the playoffs. You know, again, Carson Wentz was a 9-win season. So they've done this song and dance with different lead actors. I think they almost view it as Flacco's kind of the same guy, just a different actor.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, for what it's worth, at least it won't be a boring offseason. You know, whatever happens, it's going to be interesting. I did mention Jonathan Taylor here, and for us in Buffalo now, it's become, at least this season, anytime there's a good running back, our blood starts to boil and we start sweating bullets. It's just the Bills, they've not really handled running backs well this year, or at least good rushing teams. Derrick Henry, notably on primetime, just ran all over the Bills. Devon Achane last week, yes, it ends in a win, but it didn't leave you with a lot of confidence. And Jonathan Taylor, since coming back from his injuries to start the year, Kevin, he's looked great. I mean, just under 5 yards per carry. It looks like, for the most part, outside of last week, he's been awesome in every game. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, when Richardson has been next to him, he's been uber, uber good. And I'd say when Flacco's been next to him, it hasn't been at the Jonathan Taylor level that we're used to. They struggled to run it again, 3.7 per carry the other night with Flacco. Now, Taylor hasn't been with Flacco, you know, a ton this season, but I think that is a question you have of just how dynamic is this run game with Flacco and the lack of attention that's needed in the run game versus with Richardson. Now, certainly you guys saw it firsthand a couple of years ago what Taylor can do when he's humming, and that's one of the finest games of his NFL career. And I do think he still has that in him, but the Colts have yet to kind of find that fully, again, especially with Flacco. And they could be starting – they will start two rookies on their offensive line. They could be starting three, depending on a concussion protocol situation with their left tackle. So that is something to keep an eye on as well for Sunday. And just the whole revival of the run game has to happen. The passing offense just isn't efficient and crisp enough to not have Jonathan Taylor at that Pro Bowl level. And there's been moments of that this season, but, you know, lately it just hasn't been there necessarily for him. And again, he's coming off an ankle injury from a few weeks ago and missed some time. So he's too dynamic of a player not to have him above, you know, more than 4 yards per carry. So certainly it'll be a huge storyline given, you know, Buffalo and some of the struggles that they've had there.
So sticking with the offense, I wanted to talk about the wide receiver room because it's kind of a weird room. Like, obviously you have Michael Pittman Jr. there, but he hasn't had really that good of a season. Is that mostly on the quarterbacks, or is it, like, just the passing game in general?
So Pittman suffered a back injury about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't know, unless you're a fantasy football owner of Michael Pittman, you probably didn't pay too much of attention to it. But there was a debate that they put him on injured reserve, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, he's going to play through this back injury. He's going to play through it. Well, I want to say in the last – I forget the exact numbers. I want to say it's 2 catches on 10 targets maybe in the last 2 weeks, just a really, really bad percentage. He's not creating much separation at all. He just doesn't look like anywhere near the same player. They decreased his playing time from 95% of the snaps the week prior to around 75% last week. So I think they have to have a real conversation about Pittman and just his play time. Is he going to continue to play through it? Those things. Now, they have some other guys. Alec Pierce is a true home run hitter. He has done that this season. Josh Downs is a really, really good slot wideout and can do a little bit more than just that. And their rookie, A.D. Mitchell out of Texas, has been open. It's just not been a lot of either, hey, he has dropped balls or, you know, receivers haven't, or quarterbacks haven't gotten it to him. He made a great catch on the sideline last week. So they have some other options there. They're a terrible tight end group. They won't do anything there of note. But those are probably some of the questions right now, pass catching wise. Pittman's back, and then just kind of the trickle down effect off of that with guys and their respective playing time.
Kevin, you have no idea how badly I needed to hear you say that Adonai Mitchell is, in fact, getting open. They're just not getting him the ball. I was a big A.D. Mitchell fan for this draft class for the Bills, and to see him go to the Colts, I was crushed. And then I saw I've only seen the week one numbers of, like, just how much he was getting open, and when I tell you it breaks my heart, it broke my heart. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a guy that certainly, I think, was a pretty volatile draft prospect. You know, some people had him going as high as round one, and, you know, he fell to, I believe, the 11th wideout taken. So they would like a little bit more consistency. And, it's, again, it's not just him. I mean, he has gotten open, but, you know, whether it's, hey, you're not in the right place or, you know, some drops, certainly I think we're kind of waiting for the, hey, when's the 4-catch, 72-yard day? Again, he had an unbelievable toe tap catch the other day, but I think that'll be something to keep an eye on if they're going to decrease Pittman's playing time.
So, Kevin, shifting to the Colts defense here. Obviously, the Bills' offense has been kind of clicking lately. It's the passing game's getting a little more what we kind of expected it to be, especially with the addition of Amari Cooper. What's going to be the Bills' biggest issue on the Colts defense here? I mean, is it going to be the line? Is it going to be the secondary? What are you looking at here?
Yeah, honestly, just go back to Sunday night. You know, that was a game where their defensive tackles helped wreck that game early on and, frankly, keep the Colts very much in it. They were up 7-0 at halftime because of a Grover Stewart defensive tackle strip sack of Sam Darnold. So that duo is extremely disruptive in the DeForest Buckner and not just space-eating defensive tackles. We're talking playmaking defensive tackle. So it starts there. And really, outside of that, I'd say the unit is pretty blah. There's nothing that I think really stands out. The secondary is super inexperienced. I think if you look back on the Colts' wins over the last year, even year plus, I would argue they haven't beaten a quality quarterback in that entire span. The list of quarterbacks is about as ugly as you're going to find. And certainly Josh Allen does not qualify as one of those. So I think that is just kind of a general defensive question. The run defense has been an issue this season. I want to say they're, 29th, 30th, something like that, in rushing yards allowed. Early on in the year, even with that defensive tackle pairing healthy, they really struggled in that area. Buckner then missed a month plus. Now he's back. So I would start there. Buckner and Stewart, you know, how much can they disrupt? I think would be a worry if you're Buffalo.
And then, Kevin, last question here. The AFC South as a whole. Houston kind of had a lot of expectations coming to this year. They're 6-3. It's not like they're bad by any means, but they haven't felt like I think many were expecting the Houston Texans to feel like. Colts, of course, we've been talking about it. They've had their issues. And then Tennessee and Jacksonville. Oh, boy. Oh, franchises. They're definitely NFL franchises. What is your feeling on the AFC South at this point? I mean, for me, at least personally, it feels like it's the Thursday night special all over again with the AFC South. They're all kind of going back to what they were.
Yeah, Thursday night special is a good way to put it. I have labeled it before for those NCAA tournament diehards. I call it the True TV division. Mm-hmm. It's like the division you just put on True TV and you're like, wait, what? You know, what channel number is that? Now, I had higher expectations for the division this season. I thought that, you know, Houston, I still think record-wise, you know, is pretty much where you'd expect them to be at. I thought Jacksonville would get a little bit more back to where they were first couple of months of last season. They obviously have not been that. And I even thought Tennessee would give you a little bit more than they have, and probably some people would say the Colts, depending on how you kind of viewed them into the season, a little bit more on the underwhelming side of it. So, again, overall, I thought they've been the laughing stock for years. I thought they I thought they'd be a little bit better in that area, but it's kind of been same old, same old. And, you know, the Colts have lost both games to Houston, so unless the Texans totally fall apart, Houston's likely to run away with it. And, you know, I thought they'd be a little bit more competitive with Indy and maybe even Jacksonville than it has been so far.
Kevin, man, thank you so much for joining us today. Enjoy the game on Sunday and have a great rest of your week.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
That was Kevin Bowen, 1075 The Fan over in Indianapolis. And yeah, I mean, the Colts, again, I would have wanted to talk about the Anthony Richardson stuff regardless if the Bills were playing him. It just was a nice, easy excuse.
It's such an interesting situation that they're in. I really...
And they did it all to themselves, though.
Right, yeah. And, like, but it's also like it's one of those things where I feel like the easy answer, and this is me as not an NFL executive of a team that's kind of floundering right now. The easy answer is, hey, guys, we messed up. He's not working out. Let's move on. Right? I mean, I think that might be the best case scenario for them.
It's tough to make that distinction, though, after 10 starts.
It is. It is. But at the same time, if they're already sick of him,
yeah,
why waste your time?
And also, how did you not get any of that in the draft process?
I guess for me, that's where,
and I don't want to like just, you know, beat the dead horse and be like, you guys totally messed this up. Everything you did was wrong. But it's like... It is one of those of, and we were talking with Joe DiBiase on his way out because, you know, he went through the stats and everything like that, and he's somebody that really thinks like it has to be a maturity thing.
Mm.
You know, when you look at Josh Allen and his development, the man is a lunatic. Like, we all joke that he's a golden retriever, but, like, he has really gone to the lab and changed his throwing motion. And every year you hear about he's throwing with Jordan Palmer, what have you, and fixing his game and into what he is now, where Richardson... 10 starts in, I think he's completed over 10 passes like twice in his career through the 10 starts, so he's not efficient. You know, he's an uber athlete, but barely could get on the field at Florida. They're not necessarily this runaway, they're not the Tim Tebow Florida Gators. I mean, I'll tell you that right now.
This season, Richardson had 17 completions against the Packers in a loss.
And that's it. Everything else has been 10.
10 against the Bears in a win. 10 against Miami in a win, and 10 against Houston in a loss. That's this season.
And we're hearing Josh go 9-for-30, and like, I mean, like, alarms were going off. I mean, like, it's...
Right.
And they're in different spots in their career, I get it, but I think it's also something, too, of every time he goes and runs, he gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't even necessarily sit there and go, oh, he's like a Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts-type weapon. He's not.
Yeah.
He's a guy that, like, you can't sit there and decide, we're going to do something like our own Philly special. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
we're gonna try to develop him like Josh Allen, where there's so much that has to go into that. And that's the thing is, like, if Indianapolis is not ready to sign up for that, then you definitely have to move on. But that's only something that Indy can decide, and it seems like they can't decide anything lately.
Yeah.
And I think that
his big plays also will keep them. I think the big plays that he has the ability to make are gonna keep teams going, like, if we can just
figure everything
out. A lot like Allen, if you can tame the Mustang.
Yeah.
Now, which you got something.
Brian Daboll was able to do that, and look at Allen now. I think he's becoming.
I think most of us assume Shane Steichen would really be able to do it,
right? But for a minute, I remember the conversation around Allen was, especially last year with Dorsey, was, man, was he dependent on Brian Daboll? But he's definitely broken that mold. And if you can get Anthony Richardson, someone that can rein him in, whether it be a coordinator, an offseason workout guy, whatever, if you can do something to get him reined in, you can have the same sort of conversations of, well, if he can do this without that guy, then he's for sure something. But at the same time, like I said before, if the Colts don't want to go through that, they need to move on. But again, like you said, that should have been something they saw in the draft process.
Yeah, that you're like, oh, this guy's not going to.
Right.
He's not you know, a workaholic or what you know, whatever. Yeah. Because personality traits have become a major thing in the NFL. I mean, you're seeing the Bengals go through it too, where, yeah, you got Jermaine Burton and you got him late, but sometimes character red flags are legit to the point where they were building a foundation around him for Sunday, and he's just a no-show for Saturday walkthroughs.
Yeah.
And now you've got leaders on the team having to answer for him and not really answering for him. They're just saying, like, dude, you got to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes character concerns are legit. I didn't hear anything, though, from Richardson. That was not a thing. It was just that he was raw.
It was the helmet tap. That was the thing that everyone's kind of questioning of, like, okay, if he's doing that on the field, is he doing anything behind closed doors? Which we don't know. But at the same time, you're not going to know that because it's, I mean, it's the NFL. They keep all that stuff secret. But it's just, it's such a fascinating issue to be in if you're outside looking in. If you're a Colts fan, I'm sorry, but if you're looking at it from our perspective, it's just kind of an interesting situation because this is, and Jeremy and Joe were talking about this a little bit earlier with the value of draft picks and things like that, of how quickly do you move on nowadays, how easily can you say, okay, this is not working out, it's a year and a half in, sure, it's only 10 starts, but we don't like where this is going,
this is not working,
or you say, hey, it's a rough patch, only 10 starts in, we don't like where this is going, but we can fix this.
I think it's also, and real quick here to this, because we did have some Bills news as well.
Yes.
But I think it's also something, too, that we see just 10 starts. They've seen two full off seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're sitting there going, this is not
they've
going
two, correctly. They've seen two training camps. They see practice every single day.
Yep.
And it's all the off season talks, too. Of obviously, these players, they do stuff in the off season together.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not saying that's a major factor, but if he's working out with, let's say, Michael Pittman, and Pittman's just going, what's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the case, but you never know.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you're never going to see, or if you do see it, it's because the players are really sick of him, and that's when you really lose the locker room and you got to move on.
It's tough.
Yeah, and it's tough being in that situation because you have to make the decision one way or another, and it's one of those, now, if you get rid of him, and he immediately has success, then you look like a fool. But if you move on and get a better quarterback, then, hey, it's a win-win situation.
And all this being said, the Bills are just about 4 or 4.5-point favorite, depending on who you ask, as they go into Indianapolis for Sunday at 1 o'clock. On to the Bills news, though. We will hear from our own Sal Capaccio here in just under 10 minutes. But the Bills have made it official. They're signing two defensive tackles.
Oh.
Ultimately, it was right. It is Jordan Phillips and it is Quentin Jefferson, both 2 1-year contracts, both coming back to Buffalo. Great to hear for them. The Phillips one, we were talking about it earlier. It didn't seem like they were definitely going to do it. Now they have. And then Quentin Jefferson was reported a little over an hour ago. So they bring in two new faces. I think that's a lot to do with just the injuries they've dealt with on the defensive line. But we'll get more on that as Sal Capaccio joins the show coming up next. And we will also attempt to carry live Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who's speaking at 11:45 this morning, looking for some more injury updates on that as well. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Expert Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got to be quick here, so we're going to get right to it. We go back to the Western Hotline as our own Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Yeah, a little change up down here at One Bills Drive. Normally a noon press conference for Sean McDermott, 12:30 practice today. It'll be an 11:45 a.m. press conference for Sean McDermott, and the team will then have a walkthrough. No media allowed at the walkthrough, but then we'll hear from players after practice.
And then the Bills did announce today, just about a half hour ago, they're bringing in both defensive tackles. There was some rumors yesterday due to an Instagram post, but they bring in both Jordan Phillips. And then this morning it was reported and now confirmed as well, Quentin Jefferson, both coming back, both a reunion for the Bills.
Yeah, Jordan Phillips obviously had been with the Dallas Cowboys. Quentin Jefferson had been with the Cleveland Browns. I believe that's correct. Those two teams, their last two teams. I don't think they went anywhere else since. Either way, they're coming back to Buffalo, and they've been on the Bills, obviously, recently together. This has been a defensive line group. The Bills have, you know, kind of always looked around for guys that have been fits in scheme that they know, and these two guys certainly know Sean McDermott's scheme and Bobby Babich and what they're running. And let's face it, the Bills lack in stopping the run right now. And on top of that, no Dwayne Carter for at least two more games, no DeJuan Smoot for at least four games. So they had to do something here. And, you know, you could trade, try and give up assets for something. Whether a trade was out there to be made, I'm not sure. But that would have to be giving up assets. But in this case, you pick up players who are, you know, street free agents who've been released, and they can come in here and the Bills hope can help. But I also find it interesting they did sign them right to the active roster. They did have the two spots open. They signed them right to the active roster. These are not practice squad signings. They go right on the 53.
So I was looking at these two signings, and I think it's kind of interesting. Do you think that this was their plan all along, or do you think that there was just some trades that didn't materialize yesterday? Like, obviously, Za'Darius Smith gets traded early on in the day. If that was one of the targets, I mean, that kind of eliminates any idea pretty early on in the morning.
It's tough to say. I think because, Josh, you obviously have to give up assets. You know, I would say that, as Brandon Bean always does, I'm sure he was working the phones, seeing who's available, right? But when a team says, hey, you need a fifth-round pick or sixth-round pick, he's already given up some draft capital next year. He doesn't want to do that. And, you know, for the Bills, you can bring in somebody, or two people in this case, that know your scheme, know your fit. You don't have to onboard them quickly. You know, instead of giving up draft capital, that makes sense. On top of the fact, guys, let's remember, you know, salary cap matters, right? So I know teams can take on salary on trades, but the Bills don't have a lot of cap money. These would obviously be, you know, minimum types of deals. And now you're talking, what, maybe 500 grand the rest of the year, whatever that would add up to. So, you know, they have to play that game as well. You know, this is a circumstance they had to go do something, though. Obviously, I don't think it would be the plan necessarily a couple of weeks ago when you have everybody healthy. But now that you have Dwayne Carter and DeJuan Smoot down, it's something that the Bills, you know, had to go and do.
Zach Capaccio here on the West Her Hotline. Just for a few more minutes as we're getting ready for Bills head coach Sean McDermott to speak in just about 10 minutes ahead of today's practice. Sal, we didn't get much of an injury update earlier this week on Monday following this weekend's game. Keon Coleman kind of seeming like the big storyline there, if he's going to be healthy. I do wonder, though, if them maybe not making a move at wide receiver, whether it be trade or free agent signings, is just on the defensive line. Maybe fool's hope, but maybe hoping that, you know, ultimately he's going to be okay. But I will tell you, I was a little alarmed by just the quote-unquote more testing that never really sits right with me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know how to really take this, and we're going to find out here in a few minutes, you know, at least a little bit from Sean McDermott, what Keon Coleman's status is. It didn't look good in the locker room. He had a brace on his left hand wrist area. Sean said it's a wrist hand area injury. More tests are being done. I agree with you that, hey, if you want to read into roster management, the two guys they added are two defensive tackles. They did not add, or two defensive linemen. They did not add a wide receiver at the trade deadline. They did not add a wide receiver today that we know of, because these two guys make it 53. Now, so that would be, okay, that's encouraging. They didn't go out and add to the position. However, let's remember, they have four guys on the practice squad, and all of them have elevations remaining. And they could say very easily, like they did last week with Amari Cooper being down, hey, we're going to elevate Jalen Virgil or Tyrell Shavers. But for me, it would be more of, is Keon Coleman going on injured reserve? Even if he's, you know, if Sean McDermott comes out today, guys, and goes, yeah, he's going to miss this week, he's going to be out week to week. If they don't put him on IR, that's obviously encouraging. And that would mean that, you know, because that would mean he immediately missed four games. If they don't do that, that means there's hope that he wouldn't have to be out the required four games. So we'll find out here in just about 10 minutes.
Sal, looking around the rest of the league yesterday with the trade deadline, not a lot of big moves in terms of AFC players, but in the NFC, there was a couple big splash moves with Lattimore going to the Commanders. I mean, what's your overall take on the rest of the league from yesterday?
Yeah, it's a great move for them. They really... they're really bolstering up. That's a good team, and they're going to have a look at it here. And then, of course, the Lions. I mean, you could be looking at Lions Commanders, you know, NFC Championship game. They seem to be the two best teams in the conference right now, the way they're playing. Go back and you guys go back many years ago. That was a that did happen. The Bills played the then Redskins in the Super Bowl. The Redskins actually beat the Lions to get to that Super Bowl. They played in the conference championship, I believe, or at least the division. But they used to play playoff games, those teams. That's how good they were together. Now back here we are again. I like the move for both teams. Darius Smith going to Detroit. He's a really good edge rusher. Puts a lot of pressure on. They do not have Aiden Hutchinson. They could get Aiden Hutchinson back maybe in January during the playoffs. You know, so we'll see. That would be incredible if they did. And as far as the AFC is concerned, obviously the big name would be maybe Tre'Davious White, but I just did a radio hit in a Baltimore radio station, and I said, look, we love Tre'Davious here, but I just think that, you know, it's a lot to ask for him to, you know, be anything close to what he was. And he was a healthy scratch on a defense that is 30th in the league in yards per play allowed against the pass. So I think that says a lot there, but obviously big additions in Washington and Detroit.
I'd even say real quick here on Trey White, I mean, the draft compensation to go get him, 2 seventh-round picks, one of which being, I think, in 2027, it's usually not a great sign. Sal, we'll let you go here and get ready for Sean McDermott, and then we'll, you know, take a time out here in just a second so we can listen to all that. Thank you so much for this morning.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. But Washington and Detroit being good, it's so cool.
I love it.
It is kind of cool. Like, Washington gets rid of their bad owner and immediately are fun. Like, all right, cool, let's go.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Awesome for them. Ross Tucker was on yesterday with Shelton Bulldog, and he even brought that up too, of like just and Trista Crick as well, because she lives in that area. You're seeing, you know, Terry McLaurin jerseys everywhere. You're seeing Jane Daniels jerseys everywhere. You're just now hoping, if you're their fans, not another RG3, where it's a right. Terrible injury rookie year and all of it, you know, falls apart. But with the new ownership, you're probably going to get a new stadium. I want to be, you know, correct here when I say this, but probably within the next 10 years, I would imagine. I mean, it's a garbage stadium. I mean, everyone hates it. But good for them. I just cannot imagine Detroit and Washington playing in like important playoff games. Mm-hmm. Because most of my life, Washington's been bad, and most of everyone's lives, Detroit has been bad. I mean, unless you're in the 40s with Bobby Lane. I mean, that's about it. Yeah, about that. I will say, though, the Marshawn Lattimore thing. One of the best rivalries in all of sports is done and over with. Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore. Evans gets hurt, and Lattimore leaves the NFC South. I mean, that's worthy of a candleside vigil.
The only thing we can hope for is that Mike Evans comes back in the playoffs and the Commanders and Buccaneers play each other.
We can only be so lucky. That would be amazing.
That would be insane. Like, Evans' first game back is against Lattimore and the Commanders.
Oh. Peak television. Yeah. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to break here so that we can hear the start of Bills head coach Sean McDermott's press conference with the media here today before practice. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mint on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are waiting for Bills head coach Sean McDermott to join with the media today before practice. We'll carry as much of that as we can, as, of course, we are waiting on injury updates to, namely, the likes of Keon Coleman. We were just speaking with Sal Capaccio there last segment. And Josh, that's kind of where I'm at as well. It's just like they added two defensive linemen. They didn't add a wide receiver.
They did.
I'm taking that as a positive vibe. Well, I mean, like, you know, from yesterday, depending on Keon's health.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, they did. They very much did.
So, like, I'm sitting here going, like, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to feel a little bit better in terms of his health. But and Sal rightfully points out, well, they have some guys in the practice squad they could elevate. And it's just, oh, man. That's maybe the thing that has me holding my breath the most with these Bills. And, you know, even against a team like Indianapolis, who I think they will be fine against. Is we haven't really been able to see this wide receiver room fully healthy, fully operational, the whole thing. And in those brief moments that we did, they looked awesome. It looked like they completely opened up. Keon looked awesome, the whole thing. And, you know, Cooper was an immediate success. You're seeing how good Shakir is. And now we're back. It feels like we're going to be back to, well, you hope Cooper's wrist is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting anything out of Curtis Samuel. Khalil Shakir's really good, but you can't get him the ball 40 times a game. That's not going to happen. Even 20 feels like 20 targets feels insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you like the running back room. Ray Davis has been great in the passing game, but you want to be able to see what these guys can be like just off to the races, fully healthy, especially during this little run here. And even, dude, look, just flat out, going against the Chiefs. They are gettable, but if you're going in as a wounded duck, which you're already going to be anyways, especially on the defensive side.
Do you think they will be at that point, the Chiefs? I mean, I wonder. Obviously,
the Chiefs are getting healthier.
That is true. I mean, obviously, Mahomes goes off with that ankle injury for like 5 minutes. He didn't even go off, really.
Mm-hmm.
But there was that fear. So I wonder if there's anything there that's going to be lingering. The fact that he came back, I don't think there will be. But, I mean, you never know what you're going to see throughout this week. They are technically on a short week, if you want to look at it that way.
Yep.
It was a Monday night game. But I just, man, I look at that game in week 11. And I'm not trying to just look past the Colts.
Because I don't play the game. I'll look past them. It's okay.
Okay. But I just look at that game, and it's got, I don't even know what's got written all over it, because I want to say it's got a Bills win written all over it, but
because that's what they do in the regular season. They beat the Chiefs.
But at the same time,
they just win games this year.
Yeah.
They just win games.
And
they don't look particularly good. Other Kansas teams City's all continue to make terrible, terrible decisions, like Todd Bowles not going for two.
Yeah, and Kansas City's got the Broncos this week, which if the Broncos would have held the Ravens to less than 41 points, I would have felt a little more confident. But after them showing what they did against the Ravens, I have no faith in the Broncos doing anything against the Chiefs.
No, because I was sitting there like I'm like, just keep it competitive, the whole thing. Maybe you can do
competitive
it
for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, because then maybe you could do it against Kansas City too. And now I'm like, oh, never mind, never mind.
Right.
This will be bad.
But,
and they were a team too that I was like, all right, they're being coached above their talent level. Maybe this will be a closer game. And
but
now I'm not there.
But after the Bills, the only real threat to the Chiefs is maybe the Texans.
Yeah, they can 100% go undefeated in the regular season.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not saying they're all of a sudden going to become like the 70s Dolphins or even the 2007 Patriots.
Their
schedule is shaping up for that. And then they are, in fact, getting healthier. Isaiah Pacheco is going to be coming back soon. Hollywood Brown, they might get in the playoffs, but you're going to get a healthier Juju Smith-Schuster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are getting somewhat healthier. It's just, it does feel like the Bills might be like the one team that could give them a loss.
But you're also going to find out as those players get healthy and as they start to come back, if that was really the problem with the offense. Because the offense itself has had problems all throughout the season. It's not just the the players getting hurt. The defense has bailed them out of most games.
Yeah, but I mean, even now, I mean, they didn't look great the other night, but you're starting to get Travis Kelce going. What do you have, 14 targets, 16 targets, and 12 catches? I mean, he's starting to get going as well. It's just, you sit there and you're looking at him and you're just like, yeah, I mean, here they go again. They don't look as good as they have in their prime years, but they didn't look that great the last 2 years, and they won two straight Super Bowls. I don't want to come down off like a Debbie Downer. I think the Bills have shown that they can be a very good team this year, and I would argue it is, the big three. It is Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo. But even then, it's just, you look at them and again, they figure out ways to win.
I really wish the Chiefs played the Lions in the regular season. I want it so bad.
Yeah, because I don't really want to see that as a Super Bowl.
I don't know if
I don't know.
I think the Lions could handle them in a Super Bowl.
Oh, I think they definitely could.
But
I want to know what that Super Bowl would have been like if they held on against San Francisco.
Ooh.
And Detroit actually goes into the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think Detroit the last 2 years is the best team in football for like the latter half of last season and then into this season. I think they're the best team in football. Even though their record
has not
shown.
Are they Super Bowl favorites? It's probably the Chiefs.
No, I don't think they're Super Bowl favorites.
Really?
I don't
like
think
not
so.
Even close. I feel like the Lions have earned it, I think. They've definitely...
No, I don't think they're the favorite. I do think they are two or three.
Okay.
Yeah, they're two, plus 450. Kansas City's plus 400.
Okay, so it's pretty close.
Buffalo's plus 800, Baltimore's plus 600.
So...
This is just, I'm going off Fox Sports.
Wait, Buffalo's right behind Detroit?
Buffalo is right behind Baltimore. So
oh,
goes
sorry,
Kansas City,
sorry.
Detroit, Baltimore, Buffalo.
The way you read that, like...
Yeah, I was jumping around there. But yeah, I mean, Detroit should be there. Look, if you're a Detroit Lions fan, you've got to feel incredible about what's going on.
Especially even, and obviously the Aiden Hutchinson injury is bad.
And,
but,
and I'm glad Sal brought that up too. Dan Campbell has not closed the door yet on that possibility that he's going to come back this season. I mean, that would be phenomenal for them. I mean, we talk about it with Matt Milano. It'd be great for the Bills as well if they can get Matt Milano. But if you're sitting there as a Detroit fan, and let's say the NFC divisional game, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, Aiden Hutchinson's been ramping up his practice schedule. Now he's ready to go, and you've got Za'Darius Smith you know, on the other side with him. And you look at the rest of the NFC. That's the big part for me. You look at the rest of the NFC, and it does feel like, yeah, sure, it'll be Detroit, Washington. I don't think Washington's
Detroit,
there yet.
Detroit, Washington, NFC championship game. How do you feel about that?
I think I think they're going to walk all over Washington. I think Detroit is just a overall better version. They've been building towards this.
Well, I just mean more so, could that be the matchup?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think that could be the matchup.
Because I think that the path would probably be Detroit would probably take out San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you would have Washington just run through their side of the bracket.
I could see it. Because, I mean, yeah, you look at the rest of the NFC, no one's really giving you a ton of confidence outside of those two.
Right.
The NFC West leader is Arizona at 5-4. Rams, though, are making a push. They could be a
scary
team.
They really
are.
They've kind of turned that around.
They could be a frightening team in an NFC playoffs. Yeah. And then, I mean, Atlanta's kind of cool. I wouldn't say, though, they're outright, like, the favorites.
But if you look at every other team on that side of the NFL, Washington and Detroit can run through all of them, no problem. The only one that I could see giving either of them problems if they figure themselves out is the Eagles. And obviously San Francisco. But San Francisco's they also have to get healthy.
Chris McCaffrey might be playing this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, Philadelphia, though, I think most of us now comfortably kind of consider, like, your coach is going to hold you back.
Yeah. Sirianni is just the biggest issue in that franchise.
Mm-hmm. Even this past weekend.
What if Shane Steichen was still there?
When you look at Philadelphia, though, they are based a lot on their coordinators.
Because
even when you look at Doug Peterson, like I joke and say that he's just met Mike McCarthy with better PR. I do partially mean that, though, because
there's somehow a reason that he's still employed in Jacksonville.
But, like, I do partially mean that because, like, when they had Frank Reich as their OC, they were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left, and then the Doug Peterson wart started to show, and then it was over.
Yeah.
Shane Steichen, you were like, Nick Sirianni, you were sitting there going, okay. He's a young coach. He's building. I kind of like the energy.
Yeah.
And he's got really good coordinators in Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon.
He's got that trash talk to him.
Yeah. So, like, there was something Philly about him that he kind of liked. And then Shane Steichen leaves. And the Colts were really good last year with Gardner Minshew. It's been a bad year this year, but I think it's a lot of internal stuff that's just firing on all cylinders in a negative way. And then the Eagles. I say it all the time. We talk about it off air. I think the Eagles are one of the most talented teams in football. I also think they're one of the worst coached teams in football, namely from the head coaching position. You look at them now. I mean, what are they, 6-2? They're 6-2. I mean, they can catch Washington, absolutely. And yet, I imagine their coach will burn them at the end of the season. That music does, of course, signal. We ran out of time. Unable to get to head coach Sean McDermott with his press conference, though. South Patch, of course, will be covering it. You can see that on Twitter. And, of course, coming up later on when One Bills Live gets on the air at about 1 o'clock. But coming up next, after a quick timeout here, Sabres Live. They'll help you break down yesterday's 5-1 Sabres win over the Ottawa Senators. This is WGR.